The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis, Part 19, Book 3, the 21st chapter. Above all goods and all gifts, we must rest in God. The Disciple. Above all things and in all things, O my soul, rest always in God, for He is the everlasting rest of the saints. Grant, most sweet and loving Jesus, that I may seek my repose in you above every creature, above all health and beauty, above every honor and glory, every power and dignity, above all knowledge and cleverness, all riches and arts, all joy and gladness, above all fame and praise, all sweetness and consolation, above every hope and promise, every merit and desire, above all the gifts and favors that you can give or pour down upon me, above all the joy and exaltation that the mind can receive and feel, and finally, above the angels and archangels and all the heavenly hosts, above all things, visible and invisible, and may I seek my repose in you above everything that is not you, my God. For you, O Lord my God, are above all things the best. You alone are most high, you alone most powerful, you alone are most sufficient and most satisfying, you alone most sweet and consoling, you alone are most beautiful and loving, you alone most noble and glorious above all things. In you is every perfection that has been or ever will be. Therefore, whatever you give me besides yourself, whatever you reveal to me concerning yourself, and whatever you promise, is too small and insufficient when I do not see and fully enjoy you alone. For my heart cannot rest or be fully content until, rising above all gifts and every created thing, it rests in you. Who, O most beloved spouse, Jesus Christ, most pure lover, Lord of all creation, who shall give me the wings of true liberty, that I may fly to rest in you? When shall freedom be fully given me to see how sweet you are, O Lord my God? When shall I recollect myself entirely in you, so that because of your love I may feel, not myself, but you alone above all sense and measure, in a manner known to none? But now I often lament and grieve over my unhappiness, for many evils befall me in this vale of miseries, often disturbing me, making me sad and overshadowing me, often hindering and distracting me, alluring and entangling me, so that I neither have free access to you, nor enjoy the sweet embraces which are ever ready for blessed souls. Let my sighs and the manifold desolation here on earth move you. O Jesus, splendor of eternal glory, consolation of the pilgrim soul, with you my lips utter no sound, and to you my silence speaks. How long will my Lord delay his coming? Let him come to his poor servant and make him happy. Let him put forth his hand and take this miserable creature from his anguish. Oh, come, for without you there will be no happy day or hour, because you are my happiness, and without you my table is empty. I am wretched, as it were, imprisoned and weighed down with fetters, till you fill me with the light of your presence, restore me to liberty, and show me a friendly countenance. Let others seek, instead of you, whatever they will, but nothing pleases me or will please me but you, my God, my hope, my everlasting salvation. I will not be silent. I will not cease praying until your grace returns to me, and you speak inwardly to me, saying, Behold, I am here. Lo, I have come to you, because you have called me. Your tears and the desire of your soul, your humility and contrition of heart, have inclined me and brought me to you. Lord, I have called you, and have desired you, and have been ready to spurn all things for your sake. For you first spurred me on to seek you. May you be blessed, therefore, O Lord, for having shown this goodness to your servant, according to the multitude of your mercies. What more is there for your servant to say to you, unless, with his iniquity and vileness always in mind, he humbles himself before you? Nothing among all the wonders of heaven and earth is like to you. Your works are exceedingly good, your judgments true, and your providence rules the whole universe. May you be praised and glorified therefore, O wisdom of the Father. Let my lips and my soul and all created things unite to praise and bless you. The 22nd chapter. Remember the innumerable gifts of God. The disciple. Open my heart, O Lord, to your law, and teach me to walk in the way of your commandments. Let me understand your will. Let me remember your blessings, all of them and each single one of them, with great reverence and care, so that henceforth I may return worthy thanks for them. I know that I am unable to give due thanks for even the least of your gifts. I am unworthy of the benefits you have given me, and when I consider your generosity, my spirit faints away before its greatness. All that we have of soul and body, whatever we possess interiorly or exteriorly, by nature or by grace, are your gifts, and they proclaim your goodness and mercy, from which we have received all good things. If one receives more and another less, yet all are yours, and without you nothing can be received. He who receives greater things cannot glory in his own merit, or consider himself above others, or behave insolently towards those who receive less. He who attributes less to himself and is the more humble and devout in returning thanks is indeed the greater and the better, while he who considers himself lower than all men and judges himself to be the least worthy is the more fit to receive the greater blessing. He, on the other hand, who has received fewer gifts, should not be sad or impatient or envious of the richer man. Instead, he should turn his mind to you and offer you the greatest praise, because you give so bountifully, so freely and willingly, without regard to persons. All things come from you. Therefore, you are to be praised in all things. You know what is good for each of us, and why one should receive less and another more is not for us to judge, but for you who have marked every man's merits. Therefore, O Lord God, I consider it a great blessing not to have many things which human judgment holds praiseworthy and glorious. For one who realizes his own poverty and vileness should not be sad or downcast at it, but rather consoled and happy, because you, O God, have chosen the poor, the humble, and the despised in this world to be your friends and servants. The truth of this is witnessed by your apostles, whom you made princes over all the world. Yet they lived in this world without complaining, so humble and simple, so free from malice and deceit, that they were happy even to suffer reproach for your name, and to embrace with great affection that which the world abhors. A man who loves you, and recognizes your benefits, therefore, should be gladdened by nothing so much as by your will, by the good pleasure of your eternal decree. With this, he should be so contented and consoled that he would wish to be the least as others wish to be the greatest, that he would be as peaceful and satisfied in the last place as in the first, and as willing to be despised, unknown, and forgotten as to be honored by others and to have more fame than they. He should prefer your will and the love of your honor to all else, and it should comfort him more than all the benefits which have been or will be given him. End of part 19.